Turning to a verse in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 36. Wow, an amazing word from the scripture this. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he should free us up, as it were, if he should make us free, well, we'll be truly free, free indeed. Well, that's enough for us here this evening to think on. Freedom. Freedom, of course. One of the things that the human breast yearns for in this world today, and of course down the centuries, who hasn't heard of those slaves in America before the Civil War, longing for freedom, yearning for freedom, the great oppression that they were under, and what was the great cry that they might have freedom? Why, of course, exactly the same situation arose for the children of Israel in their early history, when they were slaves there in Egypt, and they had to serve with rigour. That meant that it wasn't an easy life for them. It meant that they were cruelly beaten and often killed, and their children slaughtered. Well, the children of Israel cried out for freedom, and of course the Lord came to them through the great man Moses, and they were led out of that slavery. But of course there are many kinds of drudgery and of slavery in this world. Who doesn't know those, of course, that would seek to be freed from domestic drudgery of the home and of wretched things such as that? And of course others, especially in other parts of the world, seeking political freedom from really tyrants and from regimes that so hold them in, and they are not allowed to speak of anything. We can think especially of the most stark case there in North Korea today, where people are so oppressed. Why, if anyone should have any sentiment against the rulers, well, immediately they are punished and put in labour camps and worse. And for others, if they should show any inclination towards the Bible and towards Christian things, then of course immediately they are imprisoned, and of course they long for a freedom. But of course, even in ordinary people's lives, even in their own country, or what people would give to be free from fear, to be free from anxiety, to be free from their physical problems, to be free from economic difficulty. Of course, freedom is something basic to man's longings and needs. And of course, we understand something of that. Even in our own lives, we might have had rather pleasant lives. We might have had very much, and we might have been privileged to, in the providence of God, to have not really known any real want. But even the most of us who have been put in the best of circumstances, we've known some occasions when, oh, if only we were free from that situation, or free from this problem that has arisen. If only we were free from perhaps that person that has caused us such heartache and difficulty. Well, of course, these things happen. We understand absolutely and completely, without any trouble at all, that longing that there is in a man's heart, a woman's heart, a youngster's heart, to know freedom. And here we have these remarkable words of the scripture. Well, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, of course, this has reference to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This has great reference in all that the Lord Jesus Christ said, of course, to that gospel, that good news that he brought into this world, and which by his perfect life and by his atoning death on the cross, well, people can be made free. They can have a freedom not experienced by unbelievers in this world, and they will know what it is to inherit eternal life and go to be with the Saviour forever and ever, glorious. And we understand something of the cost of this freedom, the very suffering of the Saviour. Well, first of all, of course, his condescension to come into this world and to take upon himself the glorious second person of the Trinity, eternal God, taking upon himself the body and the soul of a man. It's a great condescension. He lowered himself to come into this world and then to live that life of poverty there, really, in Nazareth, and obscurity. This glorious creator of the universe coming and living in a humble family, and then living that perfect life, and then embarking on his wonderful ministry. And how he was abused in that, how people called him the very devil of hell, How they called him a Samaritan, how they disbelieved him and buffeted him and then hounded him to the cross. And there all the agony we understand from the scripture that he underwent, that he might bear away our sin upon the tree. Well, we see something of what it cost, the freedom of someone that should become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to explore just a little here this evening what it is to be free. Really, to answer the question, free from what? What is this freedom? We read this verse here, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And we understand from the scripture that if we come and repent of our sin and turn away from that old life, and if we come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be fully persuaded that what he did upon the cross was for sinners like us, and take it personally and entrust ourselves completely to him, and if we were to yield up our lives to him, to be his from now on, true worshippers of God, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that seek to live their lives according to the scriptures, well then we understand he will make us free. But free from what? This is our inquiry here tonight. What is it to be free? And really I've got, I think it's 13 items here. Free in this sense. Of course, first of all, if the Son should make us free, it will free us from the guilt of sin. Oh, this is the thing that hangs over us. The guilt of our sin. We are those that have rebelled against our God. We are those that have broken his commandment. Well, of course, that doesn't mean much to many people. But of course, the Bible tells us this is a great offence towards our God and our Maker. And as we begin to get an inkling of what we have done and of what we have been, then a great burden of guilt hangs over us. We're guilty. We feel it in our hearts. We feel that judgment awaits. We feel that we have broken his law, that we haven't been what we ought to do, or ought to have been. Or on occasions, this is heightened, whereby we do something, perhaps even a little out of our usual character, so that we do something that's hurt someone else. Or we know in our own minds is a great lie and a falsehood. Or we've cheated in some great way. And oh, we feel guilty. And that guilt doesn't go away. Sometimes we can think back things years and years ago, and the guilt still looms up in our minds and in our hearts. Oh, we did that. We thought that. We were in that sort of condition. Oh, friends, to be free in this sense that the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioning here, that we should be free indeed, this is the freedom from guilt. Imagine that. Imagine that. Well, we understand that if someone owes a great debt of money, and someone freely forgives them that debt and says, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it, and I won't expect it of you. What a relief. What a relief. Well, friends, this is what happens when someone becomes a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom. Freedom enters the soul, so that now they're free from guilt. All their guilt was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore it away there upon the cross. And all guilt is lifted. No one now can condemn them. God has declared them right and just in his sight. And that freedom is such a relief. It is a freedom from the guilt of sin. And then, of course, alongside that, and of course all these things are joined together, it is a freedom from the wrath of God's judgment. Because someone is free from the guilt of their sin, it means that they shall go when they quit this world to stand before God, and then there will be the judgment. But of course, those that are saved, those whose sins are forgiven, those who have come into this wonderful and glorious and spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby he has wiped out all of their sin, well then of course they are free from the judgment of God. We often speak of this judgment of God, and you know, it's there in the heart of every human being, really. Well, of course, sometimes it's just latent, but you see it on a plunging plane into the ocean as everybody cries out in fear to God. Why? Because they know that fairly soon, even immediately, they will be in the presence of God and will be judged by him. And people go through this life trying to dismiss this from their minds and from their hearts as if it were nothing at all. It was a figment of the imagination. It's just a scaremongering amongst Christian people and the Bible. No, friends, this is so natural to man. He understands that he must quit this world and then will be the judgment. But oh, the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ brings. as we are converted to him, is a freedom from that judgment. No longer do we fear it, because the Christian understands that the Lord Jesus Christ bore that penalty. He bore that penalty. He suffered in their stead. He, there on the cross, bore away the guilt of their sin. The very judgment of God was poured out in terrible wrath upon the Son of God as he died there upon the cross. And so the wrath of God's judgment is turned away from that one who was a sinner, but now has been saved and has become free in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a freedom from the wrath of God's judgment. Then also, it is a freedom from the curse of not keeping the law. That may sound a little complicated. Let me explain. You see, we are in this world, and whatever we think of God, whatever we think of the Bible, whatever we think of eternal matters, there is no doubt about it that we are under a curse for not keeping God's law. Why is there such misery in this world? Why is there such wretchedness? Why are so many people's hearts failing for fear in these days? As there is just a hint that perhaps they might die because of this virus that is around. And many other things, of course, that come our way. It is because we have an inkling that this law that we cannot keep has a curse attached to it. And of course, that's true. Way back in the beginning of time, there was a broken law. Our first parents broke the law of God. And the absolute consequence of that was that God brought a curse into this world to show man that something drastically was wrong. Why, if there were no curse in this world, if there were no temporal judgments, then no one would think that anything was going to be any different when we quit this world and stood before God. We'd have no warning. We have no idea that there was such a thing as the judgment of God. But God, well, we can even say in his kindness, cursed this world in which we live so that we might live out our lives day by day thinking there is such a thing as broken law. There is such a thing that a penalty will be incurred. There is such a thing as a curse that has come upon us because we have broken the law of God. But for someone whom the Son makes free by Christian conversion, they're free from that. They're free from that. Or, of course, they will still experience in this world the daily things that come to them because of that curse of God. They may know what it is to undergo illness, of course. They may know what it is to undergo great heartache and difficulty and trial and see so many wretched things in this world. But there is a sense in which none of those things touch the Christian. None of those things touch that believer. That curse of the law, of not keeping the law, well, it's lifted from them because they know that the Lord Jesus Christ has kept that law, that the curse fell upon him. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And they know that he took that curse from them. So they go through life free. Free from that. Free from that understanding. Free from that knowledge that there is a great curse to those that do not keep the law of God. And so they know the freedom and the excitement even and the blessedness of understanding what this world is all about, why it is so wretched in one sense, but why it is glorious also in the sense that they go to be with the Lord and be with him forever and ever. And so this freedom has to do with a freedom from the curse of not keeping the law. And then of course we have to say alongside that, this freedom is a freedom from this present evil world. Why, so many things come our way. So many things that, even for the Christian, well, they upset. And of course, they bring heartache and trouble and strife. Of course, that is the case. This is an evil world in which we live. Satan has had his way in many senses. There is such murder, such adultery, sexual perversion, oh, and such hatred and war and all greed. Oh, we see even the greed, don't we, coming out just in these last few days. Ordinary citizens of our land being filled with greed as they rush to the shops and deprive other people of daily necessity. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing what people are like. But you see, that is all to do with the present evil that is in this world. This is an evil world. Oh, friends, in one sense, of course, it's a glorious world. We see the handiwork of God in the tiniest flower, in the wonderful animals, of course, in the glorious skies and the weather. Well, of course, we see the glories of God in this world. But when we look at man, we see its great evil. Well, every prospect pleases, only man is vile and so evil. And if he were let loose, If man were just let go just a little bit by the restraining influence of God, then what evil he would perpetrate. We've seen it in some of the great evil men and women of this world. Oh, friends, we live in an evil world. But for those that are free, for those that are free, they're not totally oppressed by this. They're not totally sunk by this evil world in which they live. They see that now they live for the Lord. They live to his glory. They live in holiness and kindness and friendliness. They live to his glory. And it's as if they're free from all that. It's as if it just not exactly disappears because it's all around them. But it's as if they exist in that environment in a wonderfully free way. So that though evil surrounds them in every way, they can be good. They can be lovely. They can be kind. They can be noble. They can think on high and holy things. They can be worshippers of their God. They're free from that wretched evil that is in this world. And of course, this freedom that the Son will bring to those that put their trust in him, this is a freedom from the bondage of Satan. There's no doubt about that. Why people laugh at Satan. Why they even dabble in it there on that Halloween evening, going around as little devils, knocking on doors and all sorts of things. And we are fearful of such things, that even the children are taught that the devil is just a joke. But we know from the Bibles, and we know how he has blinded the eyes of unbelievers in so many ways in this world. We know that the devil is real. He is our adversary, which is what Satan and the devil actually means. He is our opposer. He will keep us from God. He will keep our eyes blinded as to spiritual truth and reality. He will keep us from seeking after the Lord and knowing his goodness and his mercy towards us. That's the bondage of Satan towards unbelievers. He holds them tight like a strong man, armed, keeping his castle, as it were, and all his goods intact as he holds onto the heart of the unbeliever. But oh, what happens when the Lord frees someone, when he gives them the freedom that we're thinking of in this verse? He frees them up from the bondage of Satan. They can dismiss Satan and they can now live their lives without this bondage. Their eyes are opened. They've got a freedom, as it were, so that they can serve the living God. Satan can no longer tempt them in a way that will keep them from knowing the Lord and his blessing and his help. It is a wonderful thing. And of course, this bondage of Satan will go on, as it were, all through the life until we quit this world and stand before God. And that bondage will be such that we never could trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We could never come and put our life in his hand to save us and to bless us and to forgive us. But oh, if the Son should make us free, he will free us from the very bondage of Satan, that strong and powerful enemy of every human being that came into this world to cause havoc with God's creation and the Lord's people. Oh, friends, this is a wonderful freedom. How we need it. How we need it to be free from him. And then, of course, this is a freedom from the dominance of sin itself, the habit of sin. Oh, how many have we known who have had such terrible habits? Well, we mentioned the obvious things, of course, like the drunkard or the gambler or the serial adulterer. Of course, we see that, and they come to know the Lord. Well, before, they were totally dominated by those sort of sins. And then the Lord comes, and in conversion, they're freed. They're freed. And at once, they find they're able to live holy lives. They're able to give up this and to give up that and to come and have glorious and holy things in their life. They're free from that dominance of sinful habit in their lives. Now, friends, of course, not all the folk have those great and glaring sins, but we have our sins. And the unbeliever has his sins. And he's dominated by selfishness. He's dominated by only looking to himself and what he wants. He may be dominated by jealousy. He may be dominated by pride, the great sin of man. He might be dominated by all sorts of sins. But this is the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to a soul that comes to know him and comes to him in repentance and faith, yielding their lives to him. He frees them. He frees them from that habitual sin that has gotten hold of their lives, which day by day makes them more and more miserable and ugly in the sight of God. Oh, friends, what a glorious freedom this is, to be free from the dominance of sin in our lives. And then also, friends, this is a freedom from the harm of afflictions. Well, now, by that I don't mean, of course, that we're going to be delivered from all physical difficulty. I don't mean, of course, that we're never going to have any hardships come our way. It doesn't mean that we're never going to have any financial troubles in our life. Of course not. But we are going to be freed from the harm of afflictions. You see, when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when they come to trust in him, and now they walk with the Saviour and have the Spirit working within their heart, and they're guided by the Word of God, what happens when difficulty comes? What happens when some great disaster comes into their lives? Well, then they begin to process it in a spiritual way. They begin to say, I have a Heavenly Father. I have a God in heaven that has so loved my soul that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross to die for me and to save me. And so whatever happens to me, all will turn to my good in the end. And it will make me pray. And it will make me keep closer to the Lord. And it will make me understand that I'm so frail, and so I must have the Spirit to help me. And in all these ways, it will be for my good, my eternal good. I'll be more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So they are freed from all the harm of afflictions. And that's not to say they'll be free from affliction, but the harm of it, it won't do them any harm. They'll be kept. They'll be watched over. The Lord will keep their souls, and he will bring them to glory safely. You see, they will be freed from all the harm of affliction that comes upon the unbeliever in the world. Of course it will mean a freedom from the fear of death. Now, of course, not all people fear death. Some people have had such wretched lives, they almost on their deathbeds say, well, I can't wait for it to happen. But that's really unusual. Really, most people have a great fear of death, fear of the grave, fear of the unknown, fear of the process of death, of what it will mean, the pain and the hardship and the old age and the things that will happen to us that will bring about that death. And then surely alongside all of that, fear of what lies the other side of the grave. But for the Christian, for the believer, as he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he trusts in him and knows his salvation and his pardon and forgiveness, he's made free. He's made free from the fear of death. Death now is the entrance into heaven's glory. Freedom now to understand that death itself will bring him to the Saviour, whom he will see face to face. And he will know what it is to dwell with his God forever and forever. So that fear is only the portal to those glorious heavenly mansions that are prepared for him by the Saviour. Glorious, glorious freedom. Freedom from the fear of death. And of course it is a freedom. Freedom from the victory of the grave. Why? Most people understand that the grave has the last victory in our lives. We battle through our lives in so many ways. We battle against our economic difficulties. We battle perhaps against physical sickness. We battle against relatives and friends that are unkind to us. We battle against all the great disappointments of life. And then comes death, and it has the final victory. No, we can't battle against that. It's finished. We're over. We're done for. The freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to us is a freedom even from the victory of the grave. The grave is no victory. Even as the apostle says and the psalmist says, it has no sting. There is no victory in that, in the grave. No, it is just the laying of the body, our mortal clay, into the ground. But the soul rises of the Christian, the believer, to be with his God, and so shall evermore be with the Lord. And then, of course, this is freedom from everlasting damnation. Oh, how many souls in hell will be crying out for freedom, even as our Lord tells us in that touching way of Lazarus there in heaven and Dives in hell, wanting just Lazarus to come and just put his finger into a cup of water and touch his tongue so that he might have the tiniest relief. But we can understand that all through eternity there will be those in hell that yearn for freedom, yearn that they might not be in such a place. But our friends, this is what comes to the believer, those that trust in Christ. He gives them a freedom from everlasting damnation. And of course the positive of that is that it is a freedom to enjoy heaven and heaven's glory and the presence of God and all God's people down the ages that have trusted in him and gone to be with him. Wonderful, wonderful freedom from everlasting damnation. And then of course It is freedom from superstition. Oh, friends, how many people are steeped in superstition in this world? And by that I really mean the forms of religion. The people are ensnared in the great world religions. Why, they're so superstitious, they won't put a foot wrong. They'll do the prayers, they'll do the attendance at the places of worship. They'll do all the things necessary that their religion teaches them to keep and to do. And if they shouldn't keep them, then they're anxious and they're worried. And so they think that by their superstitious keeping of all the rules and all the form and all the ceremony, oh, that will bring them to heaven. But oh, there's always this nagging doubt that it's not going to work. That it's not going to bring them to heaven. That it won't bring the forgiveness of their sins. And they're trapped. They're trapped into that great superstition of religion. But oh, what do we find here? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And you see, you wipe through all that in a moment. You wipe through all that ceremony. You wipe through all that religion. You move away and you pass away from all that you thought you had to do to bring you to heaven. As you have the freedom of knowing that the Saviour died in my place. He bore my sin away. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. He has saved my soul. And I should go to heaven. And now I just walk sincerely, looking into his word, gathering together with the true people of God and worshipping him and serving him. And one day I shall be in glory. Free. Free from all that wretched superstition that comes into the lives of so many. But then also, we come near to our end. Free to fellowship with God. This freedom has to do with freedom to fellowship with God. We have free access to the Lord. Before, we were cut off. Our sins caused a great gulf between us and God. They cut us off. And we couldn't speak to him. And we had no knowledge of him. And we couldn't fellowship with him and enjoy his presence and friendship in our life. But oh, this freedom that comes from the Son. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It is a freedom to have fellowship with God. To sit down each morning, perhaps if we have opportunity, or in the evening, well, and to sit there with our Bible on our lap and to read gloriously the word of God and to lift up our souls to the Lord and seek his forgiveness and his blessing and his help in all the present circumstances of life, and to walk with him, to love him and to cherish him and to know he is real even when all around you tell you it's only a fiction and a figment of the imagination. You know in your own heart, oh, he is real and he is my Saviour and he's granted me his spirit, and one day I should go to be with him and experience him in a way that I can't even experience him now. But now I know what it is to fellowship with God and come into a church like this and open up my hymn book and sing words which have great meaning for my soul and for my heart. Oh, do you see it? What a wonderful freedom the Lord gives to us, a freedom to have fellowship with him. And then lastly this, a freedom to be obedient without compulsion. Well, friends, we live in a time when the government is telling us many things to do. We find in China, they're much stronger. They say something, you mustn't do this or you must do that, and everybody does it. Not quite the same here in our land. The government says, you mustn't go there and you mustn't do that and you must keep away from this situation. Well, we kind of think, well, maybe we should and maybe we shouldn't, and we sort of are not quite obedient. But it may be that in a couple of weeks' time, there will be compulsion. Maybe there will be a police presence on the street. Maybe there will be a policeman outside our church. And as I come to open the gate, they say, you're not allowed to do that. And so we are obligated to be obedient to the government in that sense by compulsion. But our friends, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ would give us a freedom to be obedient to him without compulsion. It will be an obedience to him that's true and of the heart and so willing. We want to do what the Lord says. We want to be instructed by his word. We want to do his commandments. We want to show that we love him by keeping all his words. Oh, this is wonderful. A freedom to be obedient. Very often, of course, our children, they are obedient because they know perhaps something dreadful, not quite dreadful, but something will come upon them by way of discipline if they're not obedient. And it is obedience by compulsion. But oh, to have a freedom that is a freedom to be obedient without anyone forcing upon us. But we so want to love the Lord and follow him and walk in his ways. Or you see the wideness of this freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ would give to us. He says, if the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free, absolutely free, in all these glorious and wide ways that I've tried to describe. Oh, friends, don't you yearn for such a freedom? I don't know what your peculiar circumstances are in life, but there may be something oppressive in your life, something that's difficult, something that's hard, something you can't escape from. Oh, come to this. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give you a freedom you never dreamed of, a freedom that you will be amazed at. We have seen, perhaps on films or read in books, the freedom that comes to someone like the old slave there in the South, in America, and all of a sudden they're free. Oh, the wonder of it, the amazement of it. Well, I've often told that story of that young girl that was in the slave market, so fearful, a teenager, and any moment she might be given a cruel slave master as she is sold, and who knows what would happen to her, how she would be abused by that slave master, and she trembles and is so in fear. And then the kindly old Christian gentleman comes along, and he just notices the different slaves, and his eye moves towards this girl, so troubled, so fearful, shaking with fear and emotion, the tears streaming down her face. And oh, he can see what's going to happen. She's a beautiful young lady. There, he can just understand what will happen to her, maybe even in just a few hours. And so he goes to the slave owner. How much for this girl? How much? And he pays the money. And then he writes out a writing, and he gives it to the girl. And the girl doesn't understand. She can't read. And she asks someone, what does it mean? What does it mean? And someone tells her, he's redeemed you. He's redeemed you. He's bought you. You're free. And she runs after this man. And she runs after. And she shouts to the crowd, he redeemed me. He redeemed me. And she becomes his servant for many, many years. So in his old age, well, this lady, now grown old herself, looks after this man in such a loving and such a glorious way. And people come into the household and say, how is it? How is it that you look after this old man so well? Why is it? And she has only one answer. He redeemed me. He redeemed me. And this is the Christian's cry as he follows his Lord and has known this wonderful freedom, this redemption. He has been bought with a price, the price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such a one is now free, he serves his master in all love and devotion and care. Oh, friends, don't you long for such a freedom? Is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. Free from all these wretched things that we thought of here tonight. Oh, may the Lord bless us as we seek after him and this freedom. Amen.